Welcome back to Menace Podman, your NBA and fantasy basketball podcast. This is season 2, episode 45. It's the first round of the 2024 NBA playoffs. I'm Steve St. Pierre. Today we're going to discuss the draft results of our Fantrax NBA Playoff Commissioner League. But first, we'll get into some updated news and notes. Here's our first thing.
Name on your paper, first thing.
And we're going to go ahead and pick right back up where we left off, Scott and I, last week. We're getting ready to discuss USA Basketball, and our time kind of ran out. So USA Basketball did formally announce their roster for the upcoming 2024 Paris Olympics. And it's pretty stacked. I'll just read off the names here. We've got LeBron James, Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, Bam Adebayo, Tyrese Halliburton, Drew Holiday. So that's a pretty sick team. Can't wait to see it. Would be pretty stunned to see them even lose a game with a roster like that. Just so well-rounded. So many awesome athletes. So many great players at every position. It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be a good time. Can't wait to see how it plays out.
That's cool.
Go ahead next here and transition into the finalists that were announced for this year's NBA awards. And we got a lot of good ones here. We'll start off with Coach of the Year, Mark Daigneault from the Oklahoma City Thunder. And we mentioned how the NBA coaches already voted for him. So he's probably the favorite. We talked about how the Thunder finished in the number one seed in the West. So very well deserving. But so are Chris Finch from the Minnesota Timberwolves and Jamal Mosley from the Orlando Magic. He's a guy that Scott and I have both talked about a lot this year and how awesome of a job he's done with that team. So all three of those guys would be good, you know, good choices. So definitely well deserved there. For Sixth Man of the Year, we've got Malik Monk from the Kings, Bobby Portis Jr. of the Bucks, and Naz Reid of the Timberwolves. Also good choices. Here's the biggest no-brainer, you know, the choices for Rookie of the Year: Victor Wembanyama of the Spurs, Chet Holmgren of the OKC Thunder, and Brandon Miller of the Hornets. And we all know that one's going to Victor.
You're blocking the crosswalk.
Clutch Player of the Year. The nominees this year are Steph Curry, Golden State, DeMar DeRozan from Chicago, and SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of the Thunder. For Defensive Player of the Year, we've got Bam Adebayo. We've got Victor Wembanyama. And we've got Rudy Gobert, who, interestingly enough, was voted as the most overrated player based on NBA player votes. So that's very interesting. And I've heard comments about how he doesn't always finish games and therefore shouldn't be considered Defensive Player of the Year. I would push back on that a little bit. I think he's had a really big role in the success of that team, the T-Wolves. So he might not win Defensive Player of the Year, but I think he's definitely worth being in the running. So he's had a really good year. But I just found that interesting that the players were kind of pushing back on that. So we'll have to see how that one plays out. For Most Improved Player, we have Tyrese Maxey of the Philadelphia 76ers. We've got Alperen Şengün of the Houston Rockets. And we've got Coby White of the Chicago Bulls. And all three of them are solid choices. Again, you know, we'll talk about who winds up winning it. And then, of course, last but not least, we've got MVP, Most Valuable Player. And the nominees this year are Luka Doncic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Nikola Jokic.
Golden Nuggets.
And that's going to be a fun one. We'll have to see how it plays out. You can make arguments for all three. And we'll see who gets it. We'll talk all about it. It's going to be fun to see how that race winds up finishing here. Let's go ahead and get into some news on Jontay Porter. And this is something that we could have talked about sooner. I kind of wanted to wait a little bit, but we talked about him earlier in the year. He spent time with the Toronto Raptors, but unfortunately for him, he's been banned forever from the NBA. Got into some issues here. He, to say the least, he allegedly owned and operated a FanDuel VIP account in Colorado that wagered millions of dollars from 2021 to 2023 and allegedly placed over 1,000 wagers at the sportsbook. And for anybody who doesn't know, you cannot do that if you're a professional athlete.
No, man, so, no.
Yeah, not good. They take that very seriously, and anybody who gets caught doing it, it's an automatic ban.
Time to go, Maryland.
You just don't have any kind of leeway there. I know Charles Barkley came out the other day and said he thought that they should have just banned him for like 5 years or something like that and give him a chance to maybe come back. But, I mean, he's a fringe NBA player anyways. The likelihood of him returning was probably slim to none at best. But still, just something that you can't do if you're a professional athlete. So anybody out there listening who, you know, wants to be a pro, just know that you can't do that. this was pretty cool. This was something that Scott bookmarked and we wanted to mention on here. But Chet Holmgren starring in a new Nike commercial narrated by Kevin Durant for the KD17 shoes. And it's a pretty sweet commercial. It's leading to a lot of speculation that maybe the two of them will wind up playing together someday. Maybe KD makes a return to OKC. I don't necessarily buy that. I think there's been a mutual respect between those two guys ever since Holmgren was drafted. So I'm not real shocked to see this happen here with this commercial. And obviously Chet's had an awesome year. We talked all about it. If it wasn't for Victor Wembanyama, I think Chet would be rookie of the year. And yeah, you know, I think there's just, you know, like I said, a mutual admiration between those two guys. And it's cool. And it's a really cool idea. And I think it's a classy move by KD. And yeah, I mean, you know, it would be cool to see him go back to OKC someday. And it would be good for those fans, you know, to kind of be able to embrace him again. But in any case, it's a cool looking shoe. It's a really cool commercial. And like I said, just a great idea.
Wait.
Looking to see here.
Wait.
Is there anything else that I had? I don't believe so. So let's go ahead and get into some news and notes here regarding injuries. We've got a handful of them here. Just wanted to give an update first on Kawhi Leonard. Unfortunately, he's still dealing with right knee inflammation. He's basically out indefinitely. They're treating it day to day, but it's sounding like it could be more week to week at this point. Yeah, it sucks. It sucks for the Clippers. It sucks for anybody playing in fantasy leagues. And we're going to get into that here in a little bit. And yeah, we didn't know, heading into last weekend what the status was on Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers. So now we kind of know he's not going to be playing for at least a little bit here. They're still reporting on it day by day. So, you know, if we get any updates, you know, we'll know and we'll pass those along. But yeah, for now, I think the Clippers are preparing to be without him for at least a little bit here. And the same can be said for the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo. We talked about him last week. He's dealing with a strained left calf and he's going to miss multiple games here. He's sounding like he's trying to come back as soon as possible, but, you know, we don't really know when he'll be able to return. Unfortunately, we've got more bad news here for the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler, he's dealing with a really bad sprained right knee that occurred during the play-in tournament. He's going to miss several weeks, it sounds like. So we might not see him anymore. You know, obviously, Miami would have to make it out of the first round to really have a chance for him to come back. And, you know, the chances of that happening against the red hot Boston Celtics, you know, slim to none, would be putting it very lightly here. So not sure if we're going to see Jimmy at this point. Obviously, you know, playoff Jimmy, heat culture. It's become an annual thing, but we might not be able to see that here. We'll find out. And then former Celtic Terry Rozier, also on the Miami Heat. We mentioned this last week. He's dealing with neck spasms. I actually thought that he was going to be able to come back. I wasn't sure how serious it was. Sounds like it's very serious. He's out indefinitely, and that's sounding like it could be week to week. So can't really count on seeing him at this point either, and it's too bad. You know, two key players for the Heat, if they were going to have a chance at doing anything, they need both of those guys back, and it's not looking like it's going to happen. Sucks. Another guy we talked about last week, De'Anthony Melton with the Philadelphia 76ers. He's dealing with his back injury still. We talked about how he came back, but they were limiting his minutes. Well, now he's back out again indefinitely. He's going to miss multiple games. And we said even when he's deemed healthy enough to play, he's going to play a minimal role at this point. He was starting before, but with so many other guys in their rotation who've emerged, you know, especially their perimeter players, guys like Kyle Lowry, Kelly Oubre Jr., Nicholas Batum, who was awesome during the play-in tournament. All those guys, you know, Buddy Hield, those guys are all going to cut into Melton's minutes and opportunities for playing time. So Melton's not a guy that I'm really trusting at this point this year, at least in terms of the playoffs. So if you're in a playoff league or if you're doing DFS, I would stay away from him probably the rest of the postseason. And then speaking of which, Zion Williamson, he's dealing right now with a strained left hamstring. He's going to be reevaluated in a couple weeks. He hopes that he can come back, but obviously the Pelicans would have to advance in the playoffs, and that's going to be really tough for them to do. So, yeah, that might be it for Zion as well. So a lot of big-name guys not playing right now. It sucks, and it's disappointing for their teams and for their fans, but, you know, it happens. And I think that's pretty much all I've got here for news and notes.
That's all I got, my brother.
So we're going to go ahead and take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit about our fantasy league, and we've talked all about it. We're going to give a huge shout out to Fantrax. We're going to talk all about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to break down our draft. So stay tuned.
Hey, it's Scott from Menace Podman. And if you love sports and you're a somewhat low-key gambling degenerate like I am, you should definitely check out Outlier.bet. They have a super easy-to-use platform supported on both mobile and desktop sites. And it really allows you to crunch the numbers and make you get some confidence in the bets that you're making. You can do multiple things on Outlier. You can explore across multiple markets. You can get suggestions and curated picks. You can analyze trends, matchup data, line movement. And my favorite feature, Outlier is integrated with multiple betting sites. So you can seamlessly transfer your picks to automatically fill out your bet slips with just as easy as two clicks. So there's a link directly in the show notes to Outlier. You should check them out. Click on the link, go to the site, sign up, get a free 7-day trial of Outlier, and go win some money.
All right, welcome back. And we've got a really special guest here today. We're going to get into this gentleman here, our story of how we became friends and stuff. And then we're going to get into our fantasy draft that we're in. We've talked all about it with Scott, but a bunch of our friends were all in this Fantrax NBA Playoff Commissioner League. It's a really awesome fantasy league that they do during the playoffs. We've talked all about it, and we broke down our draft last year. We're here to do it again this year with this gentleman right here. His name is Shan Williams, but I'm going to introduce him the same way that I always reach out to you. Anytime that I ever text you, I always say this: Shan Man.
Hey, what's going on, Steve-O?
What's up, bro? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Fan freaking tastic. Now that you're on here, my friend, this is long overdue.
Yes, sir.
We're going to have a really good time. I can't wait to get started here. In fact, let's go ahead. Let's dive right into it here. So you and I, we've been good friends here for probably, I'd say, the last like 12-ish years. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds about
11 or 12 years, something like that. So we won't name any names or anything, but we did work together. And right away, like right off the bat, I could tell that you were a cool guy. I mean, just the sense of humor and stuff, we definitely had a lot in common. I mean, let's just be very clear. There are a lot of things that you and I don't have in common at all. But I could tell just right from the first couple times we started talking, I could just tell that you were a really cool ass dude. And, you know, we wound up sharing a lot of the same, you know, hobbies and a lot of the same, you know, sense of humor. You know, I was quoting a bunch of my Chris Farley movies. Yeah. And you were rolling with that. We had a good time with it. But then it really changed when I found out that you were into hoops.
Yep.
And I just kind of put two and two together. I was like, all right, this dude's into basketball and he works in IT. I was like, you got to be into fantasy a little bit, right? And yeah, ever since then, we've been playing fantasy basketball together. You've been a part of my main league that's been untouched for over a decade now. We've had the same group of guys each and every year. It's been awesome. But just wanted to ask you, like, was that your first time playing fantasy basketball or had you played before? I can't remember.
I was going to say, nope, that was my very first time. And ever since then, you know, it's been great. You know, I can't wait. Every year I'm like, can't wait, you know, setting the alarm when we got to make picks by 5 a.m. Like,
hell yeah, dude, that's what you got to do. Pat says it's our second job. And
yeah, it is.
Like,
yeah,
you're
second
not wrong.
Job, but it's fun, yeah. You know.
Yeah, for it's sure. It's addicting. It's like
it
a drug.
Is. It is. It is. I didn't do it so well this year, but hey, better luck next time.
Better luck next year.
Well, and we talked about this before we hit the record button, but we gave you a shout out for your first pick. You took Victor Wembanyama in the first round. And we only have an 18 draft, so you took him number 8 overall.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the quote-unquote experts weren't even doing that. And you took a little, I wouldn't say you took heat for it, but you got a couple of oohs and ahs. And, you know, I think the most common thing was people were saying, well, you're taking a guy that you're hoping is Anthony Davis when you could have just taken Anthony Davis. But as it turns out, Victor was right there, you know, in the rankings, and he was awesome down the stretch.
Well, yeah, I watched him during the preseason, and I saw him in the preseason. I'm like,
well, yeah, wow. We all did.
I'm like, this kid has talent. I'm like, he's my favorite player.
Yeah. No, and it turned out to be a great move. And, you know, Pat and I were on here a few weeks ago talking about how, you know, he's in the running for number one overall, you know, for not just me, but like a lot of people in the industry and stuff are saying, you know, he's going to be the number one pick. You know, it depends on what format you play, but I mean, regardless of if you're doing like nine cat points league, anything,
yeah,
he's going to be right in the mix for sure. So, no, it was an awesome pick. And, you know, the rest of your team, you know, you had some swings and misses, but you know, for the most part, you know, you had a good draft. It just, we're in a tough league. You know, every team, everybody does a good job drafting. Every team's deep, and you know, it's tough.
Yeah,
it's tough
really
to win
because it's like if I don't get, like if I'm thinking about somebody, I have to get them right now because 5 minutes later somebody else is gonna pick him up.
Yeah, for sure,
every time.
Yeah. Before we get started in the fantasy stuff here and get into our league and stuff, I just want to give you one more shout out too. This is something that I wanted to mention, man. On top of the fact that we do get along so well and stuff, you know, and have a lot in common and everything that I mentioned earlier. Also, a big thing with me is you're a total team player. And again, I'm not going to name names or get too in depth in the story here, but just real long story short, you know, there were multiple situations where, you know, we worked with some people that weren't really as big on like working together as a team. You know, there was a lot of just like, you know, figure it out for yourself type of stuff going on. And, you know, you just didn't stand for that. And you were always willing to do whatever it took to help not only me, but like the rest of the people on our team. And that really stands out to me.
I would touch you, right now.
It didn't
if
just
I could,
stand out
the
then. It stands out now, too. It's why I consider you a really good friend. And I really appreciate it. I appreciated our time working together, and I just wanted to tell you that on the air.
Thanks. The same here. You know, I never let you down. You know, I got your back, Steve. Always. Yeah, and since day one.
Right back at you.
Since day one.
I want to right back at you, man. All love, bro.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Let's and on that note, let's transition here into hoops, into fantasy. So, yeah, like I said, we've been doing regular season fantasy basketball, you know, pretty much since we became friends. But Scott and I have talked about this league, and again, shout out to Fantrax. So, back in 2020 for the bubble, you know, it was the first time we talked all about it. It was the first time that sports came back in any capacity because everything had shut down due to COVID. And they brought back basketball for the bubble. And we just got all of our friends together and we were like, hey, we don't know if basketball is going to continue after this. So, like, let's try to do something with this. Let's try to do something fantasy. Let's do like a fantasy playoff league. And so I was looking around trying to see if any websites have leagues for the playoffs, and any of the, you know, they call them big box sites, but like Yahoo, ESPN, CBS, they don't do them. They don't offer them. Even to this day, they still don't. If you go on their website right now and click on their fantasy page, it says fantasy's all done. You know, we'll see you next year.
I never understood that.
No, me neither. So, but anyways, stumbled on Fantrax, which I had heard of a little bit off and on. But we've been doing it ever since then. So this is our fifth year doing this and it's awesome. They have these leagues for the playoffs that you can customize any way you want. And, you can do it head to head, roto, it doesn't matter. And you can do whatever categories, you can do a points league, however, whatever format you want to customize it to, you can do it.
We've been doing it for our leagues.
Yeah. This is the fifth year.
Yeah. Wow.
Time flies, man. So yeah, this in our league specifically, we do, and we've talked about this before, Scott and I have, but it's a 10 man, 10 team, 9 cat roto league. So we each draft 10 players, and they're all flex spots. So there are no positions, there's no bench. You just draft your guys and they just stay in your lineup and they just play until they're done. You know, it's just, it's a roto league, so nobody's going head to head. Everything just accumulates, all the stats and everything. So they just play. And then once they're eliminated in real life, then obviously they're not producing any more stats for your team. So you want to draft guys who not only are really good, but also guys that you think are going to be around for the long haul.
Right.
And so it gets really strategic. And the draft's a lot of fun. We had our draft last Friday. And it was a lot of fun. We had a really good time.
Yeah, my lord.
And so we're going to go ahead and break down our draft right now. And we're just going to go, we'll go round by round. I'll just kind of name off all the players. And then we could talk about the players that you and I each selected and kind of what, why we chose those guys, what went into those picks and stuff like that.
I'm
so,
pulling it up now.
Cool. And I got it here. I'll read it nice and slow here too.
So what are you trying to say? You gotta read it slow for me.
For you, for our audience, for myself, for anybody else. But all right, here we go, man. So I actually had the number one overall pick.
Yep.
A little bit controversial, but it worked out in my favor. And I went with the Joker, Nikola Jokic.
Golden Nuggets.
The rest of the picks went Jason Tatum. Kristaps Porzingis. Chet Holmgren, who you selected with the number 4 pick, and we'll get into that here in a second. But the rest of the picks went Jamal Murray, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jaylen Brown, Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis, and Tyrese Halliburton. I'll just say real quick that, you know, for Jokic, you know, I wanted somebody that I think is not only really good in 9 cat, but somebody who I do think is going to make a good long run. And obviously with Denver, you know, winning it all last year and having one of the top seeds this year, I like their chances to get back to the Western Conference Finals and back to the NBA Finals. So I do actually have Denver making it to the finals. And so, yeah, Jokic was a pretty easy pick for me. But I wanted to get into your pick here. So, like I said, you took Chet Holmgren, and you took him fourth overall, passing on the likes of even his teammate, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So I just wanted to ask you, you know, what went into the thinking? I like it. We'll get into it here, but there's kind of a lack of big men in this draft. So it wound up being a really good move. You didn't really draft a lot of other bigs. Yep, so, but yeah, go ahead. Just talk about the pick and talk about why you like Chet.
Well, for one, I feel OKC is going to go a little bit further. So I felt,
number one seed.
Yeah. So I feel like, okay, well, I need to pick somebody that's, you know, I think OKC and Denver are going to have a good shot. So I'm like, okay, I think they're going to go pretty far. So let me pick OKC, and Chet Holmgren this year has just been phenomenal. Like when I looked at the fantasy sports, it showed that he was 10th in the league, and he's a rookie. And, you know, this is the year of the rookies for me. It's just like, I'm like, I'll give it a shot. You know, he's a power forward, 16.5 points, 7.9 rebounds, 2.4 assists. You know, he did pretty well.
Two and a half blocks.
Yep,
you're blocking the crosswalk.
So, you know, I just like the way he plays. You know, he's a good player. He stays healthy, not injury prone. So I'm like, okay, OKC is one of the teams that I'm thinking is going to make it further. So I'm like, all right, let me get Chet.
I talked about this too in the opening segment today, but he's in a new commercial for the a new Nike commercial narrated by Kevin Durant for the KD17s. I don't know if you've seen that yet.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
That's pretty cool. You should check it out.
I am.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I agree. I think it was a really good pick. I agree with you. I think OKC is another team that could definitely go on a run here. And, you know, Scott and I were on here last week talking, and yeah, they're unproven. They're young, but that was Denver last year, and they obviously won the whole freaking thing. So, anything's possible. You know, they were the number one seed in the West this year, the Thunder.
Right.
And so, yeah, they definitely have a chance. You know, they're going to have home court advantage throughout the West, and that's going to be huge, especially for a young team. So, and then, yeah, as we pointed out, like, you could have taken Shai here, and that would have been totally fine too. But there weren't a lot of big men taken in this draft.
Yeah.
And we'll get to it. But, like, your team, I remember at the end of our draft, you were going, how many centers did I take?
Right.
So, but no, so it wound up being a good move. And I agree with everything you said. I think he's an awesome guy, especially a nine cat.
Definitely.
Yeah. So I love it. I think it's a good move. Good fit. Let's get into the second round here. So, second round, just in order, we've got Kawhi Leonard, Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, Damian Lillard, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Anthony Edwards, Kevin Durant, Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Brunson, and Derek White. I, of course, went with White. That's my guy. He's definitely an on-brand kind of pick there. But you took KD.
Yeah, because I don't really have high hopes for Phoenix, but, you know, they got Devin Booker out there. You never know, things might turn around, but, you know, he's one of my favorite all-around players. You know, he's an all-around player. Points, rebounds, blocks. He even gets you some threes.
For sure.
So, you know, I like KD. I've always been a KD fan because he's like a all-around player, and he has a height, you know. You know, he can play like a shooting guard. So,
yeah, and the West is wide open. So, I mean, you're right. Like, there's a chance that Phoenix could lose, but there's also a chance that they could win and go on a big run and maybe even come out of the West. And, you know, we've talked about it. In these leagues, you have to take the best players. Like, you can't let the most talented guys fall too far. You know, there comes a point where you kind of target teams that you think you have more faith in, but, like, more towards the beginning of the draft, you just have to take the best guys. And especially in a year like this, where it is so wide open, you kind of have to have all your bases covered, you know. And a team like Phoenix, it's good to have a player or two just in case they do go on a big run. And then if they lose early, you've only invested like one or two picks in them. So
yeah, and that's why I took a different approach this year, and I just tried to get one or two players for most of the teams so I can, you know, just you never know who might win.
Yeah. No, it's a good strategy, and it's one that I usually tend to do as well. You know, I do kind of base it on who I pick at the beginning, you know, because really if you are picking somebody like first, second, third round, you really are investing in that team.
Right.
So like I've invested now in the Denver Nuggets and the Boston Celtics. So when it comes time for like the middle and later picks, I take that into consideration. I'm like, okay, I might as well double down and really go for it with these guys, because then I'll reap the benefits that much more. I'll have other players on those teams still going, still producing numbers. And again, you know, it's a roto league. And so everything just accumulates. And so you want guys that are going to be around. And so, yeah, at that point, you're invested in those guys and those teams. Might as well get some of their teammates. So, you know, we'll get into our later picks and kind of, you know, the strategies that we did with those. But you mentioned Devin Booker just now. He was my pick, the first pick of the third round. And everything that you just said about Phoenix, you know, I agree, this, you know, same thing. And I feel the same way about Devin Booker in fantasy. You know, he's just a really good player, well-rounded, and really like getting better and better every year.
Every year.
You know, plus, you know, he's a Michigan guy.
Yeah,
definitely want to.
You
know, he reps the D, so got to give him some love for that too. So yeah, he was the first pick of the third round, and then the rest of the round went Jared Allen, Michael Porter Jr. You took Paul George. Then it went Rudy Gobert, Jalen Williams, Carl Anthony Towns, Tyrese Maxey, LeBron James, and James Harden. So, like I said, you took PG.
Well, you know, pretty much every year I try to pick him up, even though he's been kind of injury prone. But like, you know, he's one of my favorite guys. I'm not sure about the Clippers. I'm not sure how far they're going to go. I don't think they will, but you know, it was just like,
depends on Kawhi.
I just wanted, like I said, I wanted to go all around, get players from different teams.
Yeah. And like we said too, the best guys,
it was PG.
He was the best guy on the board in terms of talent. Yeah. And actually with my pick, you know, I took Booker, but I was looking at PG and I was looking at Tyrese Maxey. Those were the three guys that I was really kind of going back and forth on. I decided to go Booker, but I was really close to taking Maxey because I do like Philly. You know, they are down right now in their series to the Knicks. But I think it's going to come back. I still think Philly's going to find a way to win. It's going to be tough. We'll have to see. But yeah, and plus I love Tyrese Maxey. He's another one of my guys.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had a hard time passing on him. But yeah, I like Booker, and like we said, you know, I like Phoenix too. And the Clippers, I think, are in the same boat as Phoenix. I think they, like you said, we don't really know. They could lose early or they could go on a huge run. You know, they've looked good even with Kawhi not in the lineup right now. And they're a better team now than they were last year because they got Harden. So, and, you know, we mentioned Harden was the last pick of this round. Yeah, this is still a round where I think there was a ton of talent on the board. You know, like I said, I think PG was the most talented guy for you to select. You know, other guys that kind of stand out to me, LeBron, Harden, Carl Anthony Towns. Those are guys you can't let them. What's that?
We're not going to speak on LeBron. I didn't even hear you say that.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I mean, there comes a point where you can't just let him fall.
Never heard of him.
Well, hey, I mean, you and I didn't pick him, so we don't have to worry about it.
Because I didn't know who he was.
Well said. All right. On that note, let's go to the fourth round here. We got Drew Holiday, CJ McCollum, Tobias Harris, Bam Adebayo. We got Chris Middleton, Evan Mobley, Brandon Ingram, Bradley Beal, Dante DiVincenzo, and my guy, Miles Turner. And that, you know, Turner's another guy. He's an on-brand pick for me. And at this point, you know, I had Jokic already, but I knew the big men were really drying up, so I wanted to get one here. And so that was an easy pick for me. You took Ingram with your pick. So what were you thinking about that? You know, that was a good pick. I like him.
Yeah, I mean, I like
him. Player, but what were your thoughts?
I was thinking, you know, New Orleans, I had to get somebody. Because I'm trying to go this year, just try to get, because I never know. I do, like I said, I feel Denver will be going pretty far. Boston have a chance. So I was just like, New Orleans, I was like, all right, let me get somebody from the New Orleans Pelicans. And I like Brandon Ingram. You know, he's a solid player. Solid every year. He's just, every year, he's just pretty much the same player. I don't think he's really even getting better. He just plays the same every year, seriously.
Well, one thing that helps, too, right now in the short term is Zion's right. out.
One in, one
so
out.
Now he has even more usage. He's going to have even more opportunities to score, put up stats. So from a fantasy standpoint, now is kind of like a perfect time to pick him and use him.
When is Zion coming back? No, we don't know.
We don't know.
Sorry.
He might not come back. You know, and they might lose. I mean, they're down right now early, so you know, we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, again, this is just another one of those things where, like, was there a better player on the board at that point? I'm looking at the rest of these picks, and we'll get into them here, but I'm not, talent wise, I'm not seeing anybody else that I would pick over him. So I think that was a good pick. You know, and like you said, it's wide open. It's wide open in the West. You know, anything can happen. So, and you got to take guys. You got to just take talent. You know, even if you have a really good player for just a round or two, they're still putting up numbers that are going to count towards your overall total production.
And that's what I was looking at as well when I was picking players.
Yep. Yep. All right, I kick things off in round five with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Again, you know, I'm invested in Denver, so I wanted to get somebody to kind of pair up with Jokic. The rest of the picks went Pablo Banchero, Garland, Darius Garland, Al Horford, Pascal Siakam, Brooke Lopez, OG Anunoby, Aaron Gordon, Daniel Gafford, and Grayson Allen. You took Horford. And, you know, again, big man on a good team that should make a long run. I like it.
So I don't have any faith in Orlando or Cleveland. So I kind of stayed away from them. So that's why I'm picking.
Yeah, and they're playing each other, too. So one of them's going to go out first round.
Right.
But
so I said, okay, I'll get somebody from Boston because I feel Boston might go a longer way.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
and their guys all went early. I mean, we said Tatum, Porzingis, and Jaylen Brown all went in the first round. I took Derek White in the second round. So, you know, they were running kind of thin. In the fourth round, we mentioned Jrue Holiday went. And so, yeah, you took Horford. And, you know, that almost does it for this draft. But we'll get into the next round. We've got some other Celtics that went off the board, including another pick of yours. And I'll say this next pick of yours was the pick that got the most oohs and ahs of the draft, and a lot of us wanted them. So let's go ahead and just get into that right now here. So round six, we had Lou Dort, D'Angelo Russell, Tyler Hero, Russell Westbrook, Austin Reeves, Franz Wagner, Peyton Pritchard, who you took, Yusuf Nurkic, Isaiah Hartenstein, and then I took Sam Hauser of the Celtics. And so, yeah, like we said, when you took Pritchard, a few of us were like, oh, damn, we wanted to try to get him. And, you know, I was hoping that he would fall to the very end of the round for me. And Scott was picking right before me, and he said he wasn't going to fall to you because I was going to take him. And I was like, okay, well, then it just wasn't going to happen because I wasn't going to take Peyton Pritchard before this round. So it just wasn't in the cards. And so I said, well, you know, I also want to get another Celtic to pair with Derek White. And I like Hauser. You know, he had a good end of the season. He hits a bunch of threes, and he came out game one and hit four triples. So I was like, sweet, he did his job. But I love Peyton Pritchard. I had him during our league in the regular season. He helped me win the championship this year.
Man, he really showed up. Yeah.
Yeah, and I loved him down the stretch. So, yeah, I almost wanted to pick him just for that reason.
Boom, shagalaga. But
I do agree with you. You know, I think Boston's the favorite in the East. And like I said, I had Derek White already, so I really wanted to pair him with another Celtics if I could. And I felt like Pritchard and Hauser were the last two that were really worth drafting in this draft. So,
definitely.
You know, I wanted Pritchard, but I was more than happy to settle for Hauser. It worked out. And then, so to start round seven, I went with the guy that you and I both have drafted before and have both said we really like, Jonas Valanciunas.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and again, you know, another big guy. You know, I'm not real sure that the Pelicans are going to stick around, but I wanted to make sure that it, for the time being, get all those rebounds, maybe get some blocks, and really boost my field goal percentage. I was really happy to get Valanciunas here. The rest of the round now, went Josh Giddey.
The reason I didn't get Jonas was because I was going off Bill's list and he wasn't there, or else I would have picked him earlier. So I didn't know he was available.
It's sort of a shout out to our buddy Bill. Bill, if you're listening, sorry, not sorry.
Right.
All right. We'll go ahead and get into the rest of the seventh round. So after JV, it went Josh Giddey, Max Strus, Josh Hart, Naz Reid, Jimmy Butler finally went here. Bobby Portis, Buddy Hield, Terry Rozier, and Trey Murphy. And your pick was Josh Hart, which I like that pick a lot. You know, he's been awesome. He's been dominating. I think he played the entire game last night, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. 21 points, 15
rebounding
rebounds.
Like a madman. Yeah. Yeah. It's just a really good pickup. He's been the one guy for the Knicks who's been healthy like all year. So when all their other guys have gone down with injuries, he's stuck with that lineup. And so now, perfect timing, playoff time, who do you trust? The guys who've been there for you. And so, you know, Coach Tibbs, he plays his guys. You know, Scott and I have talked all about it too. Yeah. So, yeah, like we said, he's playing the whole fucking game. You know, scoring, rebounding, doing all the dirty work, getting into fights with people. But you need guys like that. So
another reason why is because I didn't have a Knick, any New York Knicks. And I think the Knicks could possibly go. So...
yeah, Scott's really high in the Knicks. He wound up picking a few of them. So I'm sure, you know, Hart was probably a guy that he was eyeing as well. So, yeah, he's right there with you. I picked Philly over New York, but I do think it's real close. Scott and I both said it's going seven games. It's going the distance. And like we mentioned, New York's up 2-0 right now as the series shifts over to Philly. So, yeah, it's looking really good for you guys right now. I picked Philly, but I didn't wind up with any Philadelphia 76ers because my brother has their whole team. and I'm okay with that. That's totally fine.
Yeah, I don't
fine,
have any 76ers so. Either.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and get into the eighth round here. So that round went Herb Jones, Jaime Jaquez, Kelly Oubre Jr., PJ Washington, Jalen Suggs, Mike Conley, Bojan Bogdanovic, Vika Zubats, Mitchell Robinson, and Aaron Nesmith. And you took Bogey. You took another Knick.
Yeah.
So
I gotta get the Knick.
You and Scott were kind of trading Knicks players at this point.
Yeah, like I said, the Knicks I think will possibly go further, but we will see. But I was big on the Knicks, OKC, and Boston. I kind of...
yeah, and Bogdanovic, he had a... I saw last night, game two, he didn't have the greatest game, but game one, he came out, hit a bunch of threes. I think he had like three triples. Yep. And yeah, he's a guy, like he's not starting, but he's going to play. And, you know, at this point of the draft... you know, it doesn't matter what their skill set is. You're just looking for bodies. You're just looking for guys who are playing, who are on the court, who are healthy, and like you said, who have a chance to possibly go on a run and stick around for you in the long term. So my pick was Neesmith. You know, I had Miles Turner already, so I was like, that's cool. I can get another pacer. I just felt like Neesmith was like the best guy still left on the board in terms of nine cat and in terms of just, again, trusting someone who's going to be out there on the court getting minutes and having an opportunity to put up numbers. So
I think it was a good pick.
You know, I was, kind of boring. You know, I wanted a bigger name, but there just weren't any. And we'll get to the last two rounds here. But at this point, you're just searching desperately for names and for, like I said, just for anybody with a pulse, you know, anybody who's out there, you know, doing something. So, I was going to go with my boy, Jonathan Isaac here, but I decided last second to go with TJ McConnell. And, the main reason here was, he was like the last good point guard on the board. And I was like, hey, here's a guy that can get me some assists and, possibly steals. I'll take whatever he gives me in terms of scoring. And McConnell's just a good, like, safe guy. He doesn't really do anything bad or wrong. He's always like shooting a pretty decent percentage for a guard. You know, he's just a really efficient player. And then again, like, I already have Turner and Neesmith, so I'm kind of invested in those guys at least a little bit. So
I think it was
why not take them?
I think it was a good choice.
So now I'm kind of rooting for the Pacers a little bit. I don't think that they're going to get by Boston for sure, but you know, if they can somehow make it to the, you know, Eastern Conference Finals, I'd be cool with that, and I'll get production up until that point from all those guys. So that's totally cool. And then you took an Indiana Pacer as well. You took Obi Toppin.
He's breathing.
Yeah. In fact, I didn't finish going through the round, so let's go through the rest of round nine. So after McConnell, it went Caris LeVert, Derek Lively. You took Obi Toppin, like I said. And then it went Reggie Jackson, Tim Hardaway Jr., Malik Beasley, Kyle Lowry, Rui Hachimura, and Eric Gordon. So, yeah, like I just said, you took Toppin. What do you like about Toppin?
It was a body, somebody breathing. I don't think Indiana is going far. But I'm like, all right, he's okay at that point in the draft. I'm like, he's an okay pick. But it was just like you said, it has a pulse, he's breathing. So, just, you know, he's not a horrible.
You know, I actually.
But, you know, he's okay.
I actually love him in real life. I love his game. And when they first got him, I was super stoked. You know, I had him on my board as like a sleeper pick this year. And, you know, this was before they got Pascal Siakam. You know, once they got Siakam, that was the end of Toppin really in fantasy. But he is a guy that, like, he's still playing. He's still in the rotation. And if anything happens to any of their guys, he's kind of the first one who benefits. He'll get more minutes and get more touches and stuff like that. And he has a fantasy-friendly game. He's not, like, the greatest nine-cat guy. He's never been the greatest defensively. But, like, he can shoot some threes. He can get some boards. He can do some stuff. So, you know, not a bad pick at all, I think. Ninth round.
I just don't think Indiana is going to make it.
Yeah, but, I mean, none of those other guys I read off are really worth a damn either, you know. And a lot of them are on teams that could easily, you know, lose out early. Yeah. So they all could at this point. So, and on that note, the 10th and final round here, it went Norm Powell, Zion Williamson, our buddy Schmitte.
You want my towel?
Took a gamble on Zion to come back. And then we had Paul Reed, Mo Wagner, Jaden McDaniels, Pat Connaughton, Gordon Hayward, Derek Jones Jr., Terrence Mann, and then I closed out the draft with Jonathan Isaac, the guy that I was looking at with my last pick. He wound up falling to me to the very end. So I was really happy with that. I've talked about Jonathan Isaac on this podcast a lot.
Fresh milk.
I love him. He's one of my favorites. I love him in Ninecat. He just does everything. And he came out in game one. First of all, he's starting at center right now for Orlando. I don't know how long that's going to last, but right now he is their starting center. And he came out in game one and had 3 blocks, 3 steals, 2 triples. I was like, man, that's fantasy gold That kind of ability with either hand. It's impressive. Yeah, I had him too. He bounced around a little bit this year, you know, just because he wasn't getting a lot of playing time. But he's playing now. He's starting. He's getting decent minutes. I don't know that it's going to last. You know, I think they're going to make some changes. They're down 0-2 right now. So I could see them going a different direction. But we'll see. You took Gordon Hayward from OKC, and I thought that was a really good pick.
Well, I wanted a player from Oklahoma. So like I said, I think they're going to go far.
Yeah, you paired him with Chet Holmgren, your first
pick. Yeah, and Gordon Hayward is, you know, he's been injured. And he used to be a lot better than what he was. I still have somewhat high hopes for him. But Josh Giddey is out there now, so... You know,
Scott and I were on here last week talking all about them. You know, they've got a young team, you know, a bunch of unproven guys and stuff. But I think Gordon Hayward provides exactly what they need. And I think that's why they went out and got him, you know, specifically for the playoffs. So I think they're going to use him. I saw that his minutes were down still, you know, at the start of the playoffs. But he's a guy that, like, you know, again, if anything happens to any of those guys in OKC, I think would be the main beneficiary there. Like, I think even if he doesn't start, I think he would get, you know, pretty consistent minutes off the bench and be one of their focal points offensively. So, and like you said, you know, he's got that in his game, you know, in his repertoire. You know, he has that ability to take over, and you know, he appears to be pretty healthy, knock on wood. So, and like we said, at this point of the draft, you're just finding bodies. And again, you know, you're trying to get people who you think are going to be around for the long haul. And you're trying to get teams that you're invested in. You're trying to pair guys with other guys and you know, just try to play the long game.
Yeah, I was hoping to get someone from Denver, but I didn't pull it off. But speaking of Denver, did you see the game last night?
So I did not watch any basketball last night. And just for the record, so today we're recording, it's April 23rd. So last night was the 22nd. Came down to the wire, very controversial. I'm actually going to go back and watch some highlights, but I read all about it. I saw the box score. I read all the quotes. I saw everything that, like, LeBron James, Darvin Ham, I saw everything that they were saying.
Jamal Murray.
And
Jamal Murray.
He's a dog.
He is a great player.
He sure is. And he, you know, this time of year, this is what he does, man. He turns his game up.
And then the crybaby came out crying. The crybaby.
Do we know his name?
Don't know his name. All I know is that he flops and he cries. Blames everything on the refs.
Yeah, he does. And speaking of the refs, I just wanted to kind of ask you about that. You know, there's been a lot of talk about how crappy the officiating's been and inconsistent, you know. Did you watch? And if so, like, what's been your take so far?
I watched some of it. Officiating? I watched the rest of it on YouTube, like the highlights and stuff. But I watched, like, maybe the first 2 quarters, I want to say. But, I mean, they had them. The Lakers had them. But they just slipped. I don't think it was any bad calls. I wouldn't say. But I think Denver wanted it. They played harder. They like, no, we got to come back. We want this win. They were in it to win it.
Yeah. And obviously they're the champs, right? You know, and they're the team to beat. And they're a great team, you know. I did watch game one.
I didn't see game one.
I mean, they took care of business. You know, the Lakers got off to a really good start,
Yeah, like,
but you just knew that Denver had another gear they could get to, and it was only a matter of time before they went on a run. And not only did they go on a run, but like they cruised right past them, and they never gave up the lead after that. So, and we've talked all about how these two teams, you know, during the regular season, it was completely one-sided. It was all Denver. So
that's true.
So yeah, man. Awesome draft. You know, it's a great league. It's going to be really fun to see how this all unfolds and wraps up. And it's great because, like we said, you know, and again, shout out to Fantrax. We're going to be, you know, hyping this up all throughout the playoffs. Oh, yeah. But it's a lot of fun because, you know, we draft our teams and then we just kind of let it play out, you know, and you don't have to do a lot of work. I mean, you can customize the leagues any way you want. If you want to set it up to where you have bench spots and you're, you know, tweaking your lineup every day, you can make ads and drops and stuff if you want to set your league up that way. But I just think for the playoffs, there's really no point in doing that. I think you just draft everybody. You just let it play out. You just have some fun with it. Keep it light, you know.
And I have to add this out there. I have to throw this out there. You're a very fair commissioner. Extremely.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I try to be.
Even if we're playing up against each other and it's down to the wire, you're like, hey, you got a guy that's injured, you know, take him out, or a guy that's going to be, you think that's going to be out, I'll put him on waivers for you, grab somebody else. And I'm like, man, I'm playing you, and you're still helping me out. You're a very fair person. Well, in life in general.
Well,
you're just
fair. And I appreciate you bringing this up because Scott and I have talked about it a few times on this podcast, but that's what fantasy commissioners are supposed to do. You're supposed to run your league so that your whole league is competitive. Because if you're in a league, first of all, we're all friends too. Like, we're friends. Yeah. You know, I don't want to, you know, screw you over because you're my friend. But also, as the commissioner of the league, like, you want your league to be fair and balanced and competitive. Because otherwise, if it's not, you're going to have guys, especially like at the bottom of the standings, they're just going to check out. They're just going to say, screw it. And they're not going to set their lineup. They're not going to pay attention. And then if you're in a head-to-head league, that's the worst, because now each week someone has to play that team and they're at a huge advantage because they're playing against somebody who's not setting their lineup or paying attention. And that's not fair. That's not right. It's not good for anybody else. So, yeah, you don't want that to happen. You want it. You want everybody to be. And then plus, like, I want everybody to have fun. You know, I want them to keep coming back. That's why we've had the same guys in our league, you know, for over a decade, because it is fun and it's fair. It's balanced. And anybody and everybody has a chance. Yeah. And, you know, we've talked all about it. We did a Fantasy 101 segment at the beginning of the year. We talked about like Roto versus head to head. And, you know, if you're in a roto league and you're just playing for money, like if you're playing for money and you're playing against people who you don't know and you don't really care about, then it doesn't really matter. Like if somebody sucks and they're not paying attention or whatever, they give up, whatever. It's actually kind of a good thing because you're like, all right, cool. It's one less person I have to worry about and I can try to win and make money. But if you're playing in a league with friends, and especially if you're playing in a head-to-head league, you want it to be fair and stuff because you have your fantasy playoffs and, you know, you want it to be to where anybody and everybody has a chance.
Yeah. And you would think that on the outside looking in at some of that, we're playing for money for some of our guys, like the way it's like, everybody is just like, so into it. And like
we're
saying,
into it, man.
I'm thinking about
seriously.
Somebody, I got to get them near because Pat might get them. Somebody might get them. It's been plenty of times, like, I get them in the morning, I wake up, somebody got them at, like, 6 a.m. already.
I think you have a long-standing just feud like, with my brother.
Definitely. But it's like Kobe White. I'm like, man, somebody grabbed him. I was getting ready to grab him.
Ian got him this year.
That's
he was
the
out
one.
There, and I was getting ready to grab him. I'm like, nah, you know, I'll wait till the morning. Nope, he was gone. He ended up doing pretty well. But one thing else I want to mention is, I don't know if you remember, but last year we were going head to head, and it wasn't the playoffs, but do you remember when we were like the turnovers were going to decide who won.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yep. Who,
and I'm like, great. Like, you're like, I don't want this guy because he's going to be playing. And he might win. I think it was like neck and neck on turnovers.
Yeah, we were like benching people and stuff. Yeah, I do remember that. Yep. Yeah, that's what you got to do, man. That's what you got to do. You and I have had some awesome playoff battles too. I don't remember which year it was. It was like either last year or the year before, but we played each other in the first round. We played each other in the first round this year too, and that was a good battle. But I think it was like 2 years ago. You had me beat, and I texted you and said, "Go get him, man. I'm rooting for you the rest of the way." I did not think I was going to come back. And you were like, it's not over yet. And I was like, I know, but like, I don't see how I can come back and win. And I had like two categories where I just completely, I don't know. I don't remember which categories they were. It was something like percentage and I don't know, something else. And it just, I don't know how it happened, but I wound up coming back and knocking you out. And I couldn't believe it. And I felt like a jerk too, in a way, because like, I didn't want to, I won't name any names, but we have a friend who's been known to text and say, "Oh, you won. It's yours," when it's clearly not over. And they're clearly just trying to, you know, say the opposite, you know, to try to, you know, reverse psychology kind of thing. And, I didn't want to do that to you. So I just wanted to say, you know, but no, it was a really good matchup. And yeah, that's just it, man. Like, we're all friends. We play every single year and you remember stuff like that. And it's a lot of fun.
I look
it's
forward
really
to it
cool.
every year. It's the highlight of my year.
Yeah. And the drafts are always a good time. And, I know you volunteered about maybe having us over, so we'll have to talk off air about setting something up.
I got you.
But, all right, man. Well, I think, you know, we've gone 48 minutes here. I thought we were maybe going to go a little bit longer, but we ripped through the draft picks pretty quickly here. So I guess just before we go, like, how do you like your team? And, you know, like, were there any guys that you like felt like you totally missed out on? Like either guys that you wanted to get that you couldn't.
Jamal Murray.
Or guys that like.
Jamal Murray.
So was Jamal Murray someone that you wanted from the get-go, or is he somebody that you realized after the draft, like, oh, shit, I should have tried to get him?
No, remember, he was on my team. I had him on both leagues. I had him on yours and Bill's.
Oh, so it's just like he's your guy. Like, that's just an on-brand.
Honestly,
because he went.
I didn't realize how great he was until this past season because I never really paid attention to him. You know, there's some teams I don't really watch much.
Yeah, well, he went number 5 overall. So you had the 4th pick. You took Chet, and then Murray went right after
him.
So that's why I was asking, like,
stick around.
You thought he might fall to the 2nd round.
Yeah,
and that's a situation. So that's I'm glad you brought that up, because actually, like, in this league, that's why he went the 1st round, because he's on Denver, and everybody thinks that Denver is going to go on a big run. But if this was a regular season league, then Jamal Murray is probably
falling,
you know,
definitely
multiple rounds.
Yep, definitely.
So yeah, man, that's a great example. That's an example of a guy whose value does get boosted significantly because it's a playoff league. And because you're targeting guys that you think are not only really good, but are going to go on a run and be around for you for the long haul. You know, especially early, you want to get the best players who are going to be around the longest. So, and it's a total crapshoot. It's a lot of fun. It's always a great time. And just one more time, I'm going to say Fantrax, you know, anybody out there listening who likes doing regular season fantasy season long, you should check out the playoff leagues. They're awesome. You can customize them any way you want to. And the way we do ours, I strongly recommend it because, like we said, the draft's a lot of fun. It's really cool to just kind of look back and follow along. And again, just the challenge of it, just the who's going to win, who's going to be around, you know, versus the guys who are going to get knocked out early.
I love it.
So it's a really good time. It's a really good time.
bringing me into it and letting me be a part of it. Like, I started my...
Oh, no problem, man.
My first year, I started my own league, you know. I'm like...
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a great time. I appreciate it. I appreciate you being in fantasy with us. I appreciate your friendship.
Sure.
And I appreciate you being on this podcast, man. This is long overdue. It's an awesome conversation. We're going to definitely do it again. You know, I'll probably bug you over the summer. Scott's kind of on a hiatus right now. So, I'm doing a lot of like guest hosting, you know, opportunities here. So, we'll be talking for sure. But, that's going to go ahead and do it for this show.
Time to go, Maryland.
We'll be back again next week for episode 46. Thank you for listening to Menace Podman. Find new episodes every week wherever you stream your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you find audio podcasts. Please leave us a rate and review. We'd greatly appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next week. Thanks again, Shane. Hey, this is Steve from Menace Podman. Scott and I have been having a blast creating our podcast. I can't tell you how much we look forward to recording days and providing amazing NBA content to our listeners every week. It's hard work, but with the right software, it's a lot easier. We use Podcastle to seamlessly edit and create production quality sounding podcasts. Podcastle is now equipped to record audio and video and distribute to all the places podcasts are found. You can find a link directly in the show notes to Podcastle. So if you're a podcaster or future podcaster, go check out Podcastle. Menace Podman.